I want to talk to you this morning about the glory of your story. The glory of your story. See, everybody has a story. Your story is not my story, and my story is not your story, but you have a story, and you need not be ashamed of your story. I'll never forget, I was preaching at a youth rally for Fellowship of Christian Athletes in North Carolina. And I had preached extremely hard that morning, and I'd shared my testimony, which many of you have heard. And it's a rough testimony, but it's my testimony. It's my story. And there's glory in my story, just like there's glory in your story. But I preached so hard that morning. We had kids saved, and God moved in a powerful way. There were about 400 student athletes from across our region. And a young man in FCA that I really admired, that was just about 5 years younger than me, came up to me at the end of my message, and he said, "Ronnie, man, that was just so awesome, man. He said, I wish I had a story like yours and could preach like that." And he said, "Sometimes I just feel like God can't use me." Well, I rebuked him, because his story was a story of purity. This young man was a great athlete in college, and he'd never looked at pornography. He was a virgin when he got married. Once he got saved, later in life, he committed his life to serving students, and he's still serving students to this day. Now, I'm not saying this young man was perfect, and he didn't claim to be. But what I told him was, I said, "I want my three boys to have your story. I don't want my boys to have my story." And why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because students need to hear that you don't have to look at the pornography. You don't have to have sex before you're married. You don't have to try drugs or alcohol. You don't have to go that path. And that is just as powerful as someone who's been into everything and that God has redeemed. There's glory in your story, whatever your story may be. And some of you have hidden your story like gold in a field. The kingdom of God is like treasure buried in a field. Some of you have hidden your story, and people need to hear your story. They don't need to hear my story. They need to hear your story. And this is about investing in the lives of other people. How do we do that? By telling our story. Everybody has a story. You need to understand that there are people who are going through what you've been through, and your story is a lifeline to get them through whatever hell they're going through right now. But you've got to be willing, not just when we're in an invest series, not just when our life group focuses on investing in others and sharing our testimony and inviting people to church. You need to be sharing your story with people regularly, because there's glory in your story. Maybe you're ashamed of your testimony. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've grown up in church. And sometimes hearing people tell testimony, I'm like, "Lord Jesus, they have to tell all that. Good Lord. Didn't they have watered that down, put a little Baptist fake on that? Goodness gracious. Come on." But I'm telling you, the most dirty and rotten stories gives God the most glory. It proves that God can use anyone. Anywhere, at any time. God doesn't use the one that's going to take all the glory. God uses that person that only God can get the glory from. Look at old Noah. He saved civilization but got drunk as soon as he got off the boat and got naked. God uses drunks that as soon as they come through a victory to get naked. Read your Bible. Abraham was a liar and battled fear and became the father of our faith. Abraham was old. When did he have his son Isaac? He was 100 years old. Some of you think God's done with you. God's not finished with you. If he can use Abraham, he can use you. His son Isaac was the promised son, had ADD. They didn't call it that back then. He was a daydreamer. God used him. God can use you. There's glory in your story. How about Jacob? Swindled his brother out of his birthright, was a liar and a deceiver, and God named him Israel. And you think God can't use you. God use anybody. God doesn't care what you look like. God doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what people have said about you. How about Moses? He stuttered.
Pharaoh. Let my people go.
God could have used anybody and used someone that stuttered. He's also a murderer. You don't think God can use you? Somebody say, there's glory in my story. Samson was a womanizer. I bet he was good looking too, before and after he cut his hair. God used him. And although he messed it up, he finished well. How about Rahab? Saved a nation, was a prostitute. And you don't think God can use you? Somebody say, there's glory in that story. How about David? Looked over the ledge and lusted, and his lust grew legs, and slept with his best soldier's wife, committed adultery. King David, who killed Goliath David. Lustful David, peeping Tom David, takes his best friend's wife and has him murdered. You don't think God can use you? Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. They said Jeremiah was too young. Isaiah, who we're preaching on Wednesday night, he preached naked. Don't worry, that ain't in my future, okay? Somebody said amen real loud, okay? God used him. He was exposing Israel in their nakedness. He was obedient to God. Jonah ran from God. Ended up having to minister to the people he hated. Elijah, fire from heaven, wanted to kill himself. Suicidal. You don't think God can use you? Job went bankrupt. God used him. Man, God uses people. John the Baptist ate bugs. Looked different than everybody else. God used him, man. Peter cussed. Now, I can relate to that one. That might be in your future, okay? But God used him. Used him on the day of Pentecost. He denied Christ. Thousands saved. There's glory in that story. God uses the least, the last, and the unlikely, the undeserving. Why? Because he gets the glory from their story. I have a hard time fitting in with preachers in it for their own glory. Brian told me a few days ago, Brian Hall, who leads worship, who also doesn't look like your typical worship guy, but there's glory in his story. He said, you're never going to fit in because you're too real. And so I've had to come to peace with the fact that what God's called me to do is a narrow road, and I need to be comfortable walking along that road with him. And I say that to you so that you'll understand that God's also called you to the narrow road. And you've got to be comfortable walking in the shoes that God made for you. There's glory in your story. But how could I preach this without talking about the Apostle Paul? And that's our text for today, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. You see, the Apostle Paul in this particular passage of Scripture is defending himself because he had been accused by the religious crowd of things that he was not guilty of. And let me tell you this, if you're ever going to serve God and if you're ever going to do anything in the kingdom of God, here are some things you're going to have to deal with. The first thing you will be accused of is seeking favor from men. I had someone email me a few months ago. They were up watching our midnight broadcast on television, which I was pleased that they were watching, amen. I know they were watching the broadcast because they emailed me at 12:35, 5 minutes after the broadcast went off, which lets me know they watched the whole thing. I was preaching on first love, returning to your first love. I thought it was a sweet message. I was very kind about returning to your first love. This person emails me and says, I just want you to know that that Ronnie Phillips is the most arrogant preacher I've ever heard in my life. And I guess he thinks he's emailing the staff. This joker's emailing me. This guy brings up stuff about the church from before I was even born. And said, by the way, that Ronnie's arrogant, and it makes me sick to drive by Abbott's house and see how God's blessed that church. I know Ronnie won't read this. He'll have his minions read it, as if I have minions. So I just responded and said, sir, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I love you. I said, the only thing I'm arrogant about is the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I love you, Pastor Ronnie, parentheses, not his minions. But if you're going to do anything in the kingdom of God, you're going to be accused of doing it for the wrong reasons, and I have. Paul was also accused of being a hypocrite. These Judaizers said, you know, you live like a Jew around Jews, but you live like the world around the Gentiles. If you're going to do anything in the kingdom of God and you're going to reach sinners, you'll be accused of that. He got accused of double talk, and he had a heavy strain on him. He was accused of being greedy, which we know wasn't true. And this is what Paul says in God's word. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The word revelation is apocalypso in the Greek, and it means that when something is unveiled, something was hidden, truth that was hidden that is now being revealed. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. We know Paul murdered Christians. We know he was present when Stephen was being stoned. He says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews beyond my own age. I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. That's so good. When Jesus gets a hold of you, you don't need to consult any man. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I immediately went into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. And then he goes on to say in the text, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Verse 23, they only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there he will also be. If any man serves me, he honors my Father. It's important that you understand the enemy's methods to destroy you. The enemy wants to destroy you, and he wants to discredit your story. If the enemy can discredit your anointing or your story, then he can keep you from being a witness for Jesus Christ. So if he can get people to believe that you are greedy, that you are in it for the wrong reasons, that you are a hypocrite, that you double talk, if he can get people to question your character, then they won't receive your message. That's why it's important we have to be truth agents as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have to make sure what we are putting in our minds is accurate, biblical, and transparent. You can't believe everything you read in today's culture. You can't believe everything you see. That's why you need the Word of God. So Paul, in an effort to validate his message and his ministry and that which God had called him to do that he would die for, he goes on the defensive. So let me ask you a few questions that I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to help you in self-evaluation. What does your story tell us about your proximity? What does your story tell us about your proximity? You see, I can tell by the way you tell your story where you are in your walk with the Lord. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, "Pastor Ron, if you listen close enough to some of these preachers, you can find out what they're struggling with." Changed my life. Changed the way I communicate. What does your story tell us about your proximity? If you tell your story and you use a lot of I statements, you're not fully surrendered. If it's all me, 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 and I did this and I did that, maybe you're like Tupac, self-made millionaire. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Sorry. My past is coming back. But I'm serious. You can always tell when someone's braggadocious and it's all about what they used to do and the business they used to be in and it's all about this and it's all about that. And blah, 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 blah. There ain't even any room for God in their story. So I can tell where you are in proximity by the way you tell your story. Is it all about you? I'm thankful that every rotten thing, sinful thing I've ever done, God redeemed me from it. I'm here for one reason only. It's because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. There's no other way to explain my life other than grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. If there's any way to explain your success other than the grace of God, you have an ego problem. And you need to be delivered from pride. Are you the main character of your story? Ooh, it got quiet in here. I tell you, God needs to be the main character in your story. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Are you an original or are you a carbon copy? Paul says here, I'm not the leader of a movement. I'm a messenger of a message that didn't originate with me. Isn't that good? I'm not trying to impress you, Paul says. I'm not trying to be a Jew's Jew. I've been that. I'm not trying to boast in my education. I've done that. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm boasting in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. He didn't get this from the university. He didn't get this from the synagogue. He got this on Damascus Road. And the Holy Spirit knocked him off his horse. He'd been murdering Christians. He was blinded by the power of the Holy Ghost and got up and had to go minister to people, Gentiles, that he hated. God changed his life. God blinded him so that he could see. Sometimes God will close you off from things so you can see. Sometimes God will shield you so you can see. I'm praying for blinders to be removed and for the kingdom to be revealed in this place so that you'll be able to see things the way God sees them. You have a contribution to make to the kingdom of God if you have breath. It's not enough just to come to church. Your contribution must come out of a genuine love for Jesus Christ. It's a greater love experience that must be shared with other people. The Bible says we're to love one another. Next question I have for you. Is your story tailored to your religious denomination? In other words, are religious people comfortable with your story? Is your story tailored to your religious preference or denomination? I'm going to keep asking this till God wakes you up with it. Are religious people comfortable with your story? You say, Pastor Ronnie, what do you mean? I grew up Southern Baptist. I'm still a Baptist. I'm educated Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. Holy Ghost Baptist, but I'm proud to be a Baptist. So, but here's the deal. Growing up, we had evangelistic revivals weekly, seasonally. Preachers would come in, some of the best preachers you've ever heard in your life, and they would share their story, and people would get saved, and God would do extraordinary things. It was powerful. And people would get saved. The numbers were bragged about publicly. I think I was saved like 3,268 times. But when people would share their story, it was always shared like this. It's not just in the Baptist church. It's in charismatic churches too. It's that you get saved and then your life immediately changes. When I got saved, I never did this again. I never did that again. The problem was when I would go to school, when I would live my real life, I just didn't see that happening. What I saw was people getting saved and it being a genuine thing, but people still struggle. And as a kid, I could never understand why we hucked that buck and preached that message when people were saved, but they were struggling. And it took a study in grace when I came back to the Lord to understand that the process of recreation is indeed a process. That you're not as bad as you used to be, but you're not as good as you're going to be. And if you're going to walk with God, it's not cookie cutter. This way it has to be. I could tell you things about my story that you wouldn't believe. You don't want to hear that I was at parties when I was away from the Lord and would lead people to Jesus and crying would break out at a party. Because that doesn't fit your religious box. I can't even explain it theologically. You don't want to hear that not everybody that gets saved speaks in tongues. You don't want to hear that because it messes with your religious box. That sometimes God saves you and calls you and empowers you and anoints you and you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost till you're 40-something because it messes with your religious box. Do you understand that that's what Jesus did? He came to mess with our religious box. You cannot put Jesus in a box. Because there's glory in your story, and everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And there's glory in your story. Does your story come face to face with your past? If your story is ashamed of your past, then there's no glory in your story. Because there's no story without a past. What is that saying? Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Aren't you thankful for that? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give you three glorious ingredients to a good story and we're out of here today. Number one, in thinking of the Apostle Paul, the past that chained him. Couldn't have been any worse. He murdered Christians. He celebrated their torture. He hated the church of God. He suffered with illnesses. He was beaten in every city that he went to once he got saved for the call of God on his life. Blinded on Damascus Road, called to the Gentiles, wrote more than half of the New Testament, many while he was in chains. His testimony, his story started with a past that chained him. Some of you are ashamed of your past. Don't be. Don't be. Don't glorify it. But you've got to understand that there's somebody walking through what you've already been through. Somebody is walking through what you've already been through. And they need to hear from you. They need you to come up and say, man, I've been there. Man, I've struggled with that addiction. Man, I've been through a divorce. Man, I've made some mistakes. Don't you understand? People are starving for it. I don't know what else I need to do to get you to understand that people are hungry, thirsty, broken, and in need of a gospel that will change their life. They are. But you have got to have confidence in your story. You've got to believe there's glory in your story. So with every story, there's a past. The story could be a sinful past, a religious past, a past full of loss and brokenness and bitterness and pain. Whatever it may be, you can't stay there. You got to move from a past that changed you to the person that changed you. One of my pet peeves, man, is I don't want to hear someone get up and spend 30 minutes on all the hell they used to raise and 1 minute on Jesus. Get to the glory of your story, amen? Once you tell us what you used to be like Paul, boast in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in what you are now. Give God a shout of praise. Paul's past was a religious past. He was a racist against Gentiles. He did everything wrong you could do wrong. But there was a person that changed him. There was a person that set him free. That set him free, that changed him, that lifted him, that filled him, that gave him something that he'd never had. You see, the world will give you a purpose, but it won't be God's purpose. What you're called to do in the world is glorify God. So if what you're doing is not glorifying or bring glory to the kingdom of God, then what are you doing? Doesn't matter if you're gifted in business, you're gifted in coaching, whatever you're gifted in ought to bring glory to God. Whatever gift God's given you needs to bring glory to Him. You've got to stop thinking that this life is just for big mouth preachers like me. It's not. God's called you to share your story. Because there's glory in it. Person that changed him. I'm thankful that in June of 2005, Jesus changed my life. I don't take it for granted. I certainly don't deserve anything that God's given me. Sitting there in the White House, I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here? Me? Me? Oh, but there was a person that changed me, that saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself. The same person that used Moses, that used Peter, that used Rahab the harlot, that used a woman who'd been married 5 times at a well to win her village is here today. And that person can change your life. His name's Jesus. And if you'll move from your past to the person of God, it'll give you a purpose that'll control you for the rest of your life on this earth. Every story has a past, but the pivotal moment is the person of Jesus Christ and how that person changed you. But it ends with a purpose that controls your every thought and your every deed. So as you think about how you're going to share your story between now and Thanksgiving, because if I preach this message and you don't share your story, then I've failed. Because my purpose is to get you to share your story. Nobody else needs to hear my story. They need to hear your story. And some of you may still be stuck in the past, but today you're going to embrace the person of Jesus Christ. And you're going to be given a purpose that will control you for the rest of your life. Paul's purpose through the power of the Holy Spirit was so overwhelming, he died for it. He suffered with illnesses. He couldn't see. He had spasms. He would literally get beat to death to preach the gospel in every city he'd go to, and he just kept on preaching. We do religion today, and we have these lights and these clothes, and I think of Paul who would get beat to death to do what I'm getting to do this morning. And we can't even invite people to church. This guy would literally get beat to a pulp to preach this gospel of grace. This gospel that not only made Jewish people mad, it made Gentiles hate him. Listen, we've been given a cure to every disease, a gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. It's time that we start sharing our faith again. We start inviting people again. We start investing in the lives of people again. It's time we come to the realization that ministry doesn't just happen inside of a church. Most of it happens outside of the church. It's my job to fill you up when you come here, to send you out. There's your mission field. Your ministry, for most of you, is not in a church. It's outside of a church. Your job is to be faithful here so that we can be the church of Jesus Christ, but your ministry is out there. Everybody's looking for something to do here, and we need you. But I'm begging you to find something to do out there, because there's a purpose that God has called you to that needs to be realized. And once you've realized it, the Holy Spirit will carry you from glory to glory. Move from your past to the person of Jesus Christ and receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in your God-given purpose that God gave you in the womb. God's called you to more. There's glory in your story. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to go ahead and ask our pastors to move into position this morning. It's 12 o'clock. But before you leave today, if you're still stuck in the past and you need a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, you need to understand that he is the fulfillment of every Hebrew prophecy, that he came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ loves you so much. He died for you on a cross. He got up out of the grave on the third day so that you could have a purpose that would control you and sustain you for your time here on planet Earth. If you want to have peace with God, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're going to move from your past to your purpose, Jesus Christ is the midpoint, and he needs to be accepted and received. So if you're lost, you're not at peace with God, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, as I always do. It's my conviction. It's the purpose that controls me. Because I've missed it some, and I don't want you to miss it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer. It's the nature of your heart. But this prayer will help you. Just pray this prayer with me. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, you're born again. Your sins are forgiven you. But the Bible says it's not enough. But you've got to make it public. Jesus said, if you'll not confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. So it's important in this setting that you come to one of these pastors unashamedly and say, I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. If you're already coming down, come on down. You're not going to bother me a bit. But it's important you confess him as Lord in front of your peers. And that's what we ask you to do. Now, many of you are already saved. People coming down here and they're getting saved right now. Give God a shout of praise, Abbas House. Give God a shout of praise. Y'all can't get excited about that. I don't know what's going to excite you. Somebody give God a shout of praise. They're moving from their past into their purpose today. But I'm not done, because this invitation is as much about you as it is anyone else. I'm telling you, there's glory in your story. People need to hear your story. And I want you to leave today empowered, anointed, encouraged, with a boldness to share your story and a belief that there's glory in that story. So I want you to stand on your feet all over this place. I'm going to pray over you. My voice is about gone. I'm declaring I'm healed. I'm not going to pray for you today because I'm battling some stuff. But our staff's ready to pray for you. Doesn't matter who prays for you. God's here. But I want to pray for you now corporately. So if you need an anointing of boldness, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up if you need an anointing of boldness. Father God, I break every curse spoken over the lives and the families represented in this house today. Father God, I pray for a supernatural boldness in this season to come on this house, a boldness to share your faith, a boldness to be faithful to your church, a boldness to support the vision, a boldness to get involved, a boldness to go outside these walls and be a light in a dark world. Father God, I pray for continuous favor to fall on these people. Uncommon favor, things that can't be explained by intellect or gifting. Father God, I pray you'd begin to pour your spirit out on the people of this house. Lord, I pray for more mission opportunities. Father God, I pray for more multiplication. Ron Carpenter Jr. prophesied multiplication over this house, and we are seeing it right now. God is doing it. Father God, I don't want that multiplication to stop with me. I want it to drip down, and I want this house to feel and receive multiplication on their finances, on every aspect of their life. So Lord, may your anointing fall, your power fall. May boldness come down. Lord, may they not walk by the beggar at the gate without making conversation. Lord, may they realize that there'll be homeless people hungry tonight on the streets of Chattanooga. May they realize there'll be people in chains, as it says in Hebrews 13, that are in prison today that need you. Lord, may they realize the business executive that they look up to because of his wealth. Lord, may they look past his wealth and see his heart that he needs Jesus. Father God, for the coworker that gets on their nerves, that they try to walk past in the morning so they don't even want them to speak to them. Lord, would you give them a burden for that person because they need Jesus? Father God, I pray, Lord, that you'd break our hearts for souls again. Lord, you know the vision you gave me between 2017 and 2020. Lord, you said it was about this city and souls. Lord, I confess to you again publicly in front of my church. I'm not interested in being famous. I don't give a flip about being on TV. All I care about is souls and seeing this city change. And Lord, if you use that to touch the world, that's your business. But my focus is here. So Father God, I pray, Lord, that the focus you gave me, the purpose that controls me, would be the purpose of this house. That we would begin to restore people who have sinned and fallen. We wouldn't see people as trees walking around. We'd see gold in people. Father God, I know that these are some of the best people in this city sitting in this room today. Some of the best people in this city. But Lord, you've called us to more, to Zoe in the Greek, more than we could ever think or imagine. So Father God, I pray for boldness to come down, to share their faith. Lord, if they need to go with Brother Timmons on a Saturday night, let them sign up and get in touch with him to go. But Lord, maybe they don't even need a uniform scheduled visitation outing. Lord, maybe your spirit would be so strong that it would happen at Walmart or Publix or the schools or the office. Father God, shake us, move us, use us for your glory. As people are being ministered to in this moment, you come. If you need healing, you need power of the Holy Spirit, you need to be saved, you continue to come. Our staff will pray with you. I'm going to have our other section pastors, if you can, go ahead and make your way down to help us. We're going to go back into worship. Just lift God up. Begin to ask God for what you need for the work he's called you to. Lord, seal this with your spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, let's worship.